How's everybody doing today?
Great.
It is so good to see our church filling up again. It is so good to see so many people back again. It's so amazing to be able to worship and to feel the Holy Spirit moving in this place. Wow, that was powerful, guys. Thank you guys so much I got to say, inspiring me in your worship. I mean, that was amazing, and I'm so thankful that God has blessed us in this way. So as we jump back into our sermon series, we're looking at whatever is admirable, okay? So we're looking at and saying, what does God see that is admirable? And those are the things that we need to focus on, right? So we started last week by looking and realizing that when Jesus was teaching about whatever was admirable, He taught us the story of the bags of gold. And so last week we talked about how God finds it admirable when we're willing to take on the tasks that He gives us, right? That God gives each and every Christian, that's okay, she can praise me. Or not me, but Jesus. She can give praise while I'm preaching. Melody's clapping for those on Zoom. So she can feel good about it. As we're looking at this and we're recognizing that God's given us certain tasks and certain abilities, that they are in fact God-given, and that He's pleased when we take them on. He was pleased with His Son, Jesus, when He took on His role as minister and as the one who would come and offer His life as a sacrifice. And so we recognize that that's pleasing to God. So we're going to take a look at what further do we learn from the story or the parable of the bags of gold that we can take and move into our lives so that we know that our lives are pleasing to God, that He admires the way we're living. So in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 17, it says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Also, the one who had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more." Okay? So we are moving into a different phase. First, they had to take the task, right? They had to accept the bags of gold. And now we're looking at the fact that they're getting ready to do something with them. They're getting ready to produce. Now, before we get into this, I think there's something that we have to solidify, and that's our first point, that all gifts are valuable. Amen. Do we understand that? Every single gift given by God is valuable. Now, in the NIV, the way that we've been translating it, it translates this as the bags of gold, right? But when we go back, this version or this passage has actually been translated as talents, okay? And that's where we get the conversation piece that we have, like, well, what are your talents, right? Talents now to us are abilities, right? They're the things that we can do that we're capable of, right? Well, that came from this parable. But a talent was not an ability. A talent was a piece of money, okay? And the thing you have to understand about this being a piece of money is this was a big piece of money, okay? A talent was worth 3 years' wages. I want you to think about that. 3 years' wages. He gave one man 3 years' worth of wages. He gave another man 6 years' worth of wages. And he gave another man, think about this, 15 years of wages. Now, I went through and looked at the average salary for 2019, and the average American salary was $47,000. Okay? Now, that doesn't sound like a lot per se, right? $47,000. But when you multiply that times 3, that's $141,000.
I can handle that.
What would you do with $141,000? You could put it to good use, right? If you had $141,000, sign me up. Where do I get it? I like that kind of stimulus money. Okay? So God gave us each, all of us, no matter whether you're on the low end or on the high end, God gave you something very, very valuable. Now, here's the problem. It's the problem for a lot of Christians, and I hope it's not true for you here today. If it is, I hope we can change it. Because the thing is, so many of us, if we are not out front, if we're not on the worship team, if we're not preaching, if we're not doing something that people look at and go, wow, that's amazing, that's so awesome what you're doing, we look and we think to ourselves that rather than looking at it like God gave you $141,000, you look at him like he handed you a 20 and said, go to the 7-Eleven. We do. We treat our gifts and our abilities and our talents like there's something less than. And so we treat them as nothing, right? Did you guys ever watch that road show, the Antique Road Show? Anybody else seen that show? I love that show. It's always so much fun because the people who are so confident they've got something like, yes, well, I'm pretty sure that this is from the Baroque period. And, I'm thinking, from my own studies, I figured out that this is probably worth about $500,000. And then the antique person looks at it and he goes, how much did you pay for it? I got it at a steal for $1,000. No, you didn't. I'm sorry, it's a replica. It's only worth like maybe $50. I love those. But then you also get these people that come and they're like, well, this was my great-great-grandmother's, and it's her piece of family silver, and she lived on a farm in the Dust Bowl era, and it's just this little silver bell that my grandma had, and I don't know that it's really worth that much, but I thought I'd bring it by. And they're like, this was made by blah blah blah, who is extremely rare, and their stuff is extremely valuable, and you've been holding on to $300,000 in your family for this amount of time. And we see that, right? If you watch the show, you see these things happen. But what do you do with things that you don't value? What if they hadn't brought that antique and they're thinking to themselves like, man, I just need to pick up a few bucks. Grandma, I know Grandma loved us and wanted us to have this, and so I'll take it down to the local silver store. And you get down there, and the person that's there knows what you have, but they're pretty sure you don't. And they offer you $100 for something that they're going to turn around and sell for $100,000. Brothers and sisters, so many Christians do that with their spiritual gifts. So many Christians look and say, well, God didn't really give me, my gift isn't that amazing. My gift is simple. And sometimes we even just do that because we're like, I'm really good at this. It's really easy, so it can't be that valuable. No, God just made you really good at it so you could be really good at using it. Okay? But what we do is we allow Satan to be that pawn shop dealer, to be that silversmith who walks in and goes, is that all God gave you? Is that all the more that you have? Well, if he only gave you $20, what does he expect you to do with that? Like, why don't you come over here? We'll get some big gulps together and a couple hot dogs, and we'll call it a day. That's what Satan's trying to do in the life of believers. He's trying to make you believe that what you have is not valuable. But I want you to hear what God says. Are you guys listening? I want ears. I want eyes. I want you to know the truth of this. Listen. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 18, it says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. How many?
Many.
Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But listen to this. If you hear nothing else in this sermon, I want you to hear this verse. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. Who placed them?
God
placed them. Every one of them. Which one?
Everyone,
just as he wanted them to be. Do you get it? Do you get why that's important? God put you exactly where he wanted you to be. He gave you exactly the gifts, skills, and talents to produce where you are. When you minimize your skills, you are minimizing your creator. You are spitting in God's face. And I know that's a strong thing to say, but it's the God-given truth. You are spitting in his face when you tell him that what he gave you was not enough. I don't want to do that. We need to understand how completely valuable what we have is. So we start there, okay? The second thing, now that we know how valuable our gifts are, and we're not going to use them to go buy chips at the 7-Eleven, we're going to understand that we have these really, really valuable things. Now we're going to look to use them. All gifts produce when used. Do you comprehend that? All gifts produce when used. How do I know that? Because the parable tells me so. Did he not? Did Jesus not just get done saying, the guy who had five and used it got five more? The guy that had two and used it got two more. So what does that mean? When God gives you a gift and you use it, it will, in fact, produce.
Yes.
Do not doubt that. Do not let yourself believe that this is not the case. Now, the thing is, when we look at the idea of money, there's two things about investing that everybody needs to know. These are God-given truths. Number one, you can't make money without money. And number two, you cannot make money without risking money. Okay? Now, we're talking in a spiritual sense. I'm not talking about your checkbook. I'm not talking about, don't get it twisted. I'm not here for your money. I'm telling you principles that are true. That if you want to make money off of what you have to have money. Now, I don't know about you guys, but like, I remember, you know, I don't know, maybe it's been about 10 years ago when it was like all the rage, but if you stayed up too late at night, all you saw on television was how you could instantly become a millionaire off real estate. Do you guys remember those? Like, this guy's on your, you know, I figured it all out and I made millions of dollars without spending a single penny of my own money. And just because I'm a nice guy, I'm like a really nice guy, I'm going to hook you up with this for a small payment for my book. That's it. That's all. All you need to do is just buy my book and I'm going to hook you up because I'm a nice guy.
Sure you are.
And so you're thinking like, 25 bucks to be a millionaire? Where do I sign up? Well, you know how that guy became a millionaire?
Selling books.
Selling books. By convincing people that they could get rich without doing anything. There is nothing that is free in life except the salvation that Jesus Christ provides for you.
Amen.
Nothing. You know, this simple principle, we live it out every day, don't we? Most of us go to work, amen? Most of us, we've got jobs, got places to be, or we did at some point in our life. Did they pay you if you didn't show up to work?
No.
No. Why would they? What did you give them? They're not just going to give you money and be like, oh, well, okay, you know, you didn't show up, but here's your paycheck. No, you get paid when you do the job, right? And the same thing is true, like, I mean, because I've had people go, well, you know, I get free vacation. I get free. No, you worked for that. Nobody's going to hire you right off the bat and be like, well, here's your whole year's worth of sick leave, and here's your whole year's worth of annual leave, and you get it all right now. Congratulations. You just show up when you're ready to start. No. You work, and you get it little by little. Every 2 weeks that I work, I get a little more sick leave. I get a little more annual leave. And that's how it works. These are benefits, but I still have to produce to get them. We have to have something to offer to start off with. And the beauty of it is, and the thing that's amazing, is that God already gave you the starting point. He already invested in you. We don't have to figure out where we're going to come up with the capital. I don't have to sit there and think to myself like, well, Lord, where am I going to gain all these talents, abilities, and skills so that I can produce for you? No, when he came, when he sent his son to die for my sins, when he placed his Holy Spirit in me, he said, here's the gifts. Here's who you are as my child, and you can produce. You can do something for the kingdom. Amen. And that's the beauty of it. We do not, absolutely do not have to worry about whether we have gifts, talents, or ability. Now, we may need help identifying them. We may need other people in our lives to step in and say, here's some things that I see, here's your abilities, here's some ways that you could be effective for the kingdom. But it's not because you don't have them. It's not because they're not there. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you have to spend money to make money. One of the, I don't know how many of you by hand know who Dave Ramsey is? Familiar with Dave Ramsey? You guys probably have very good financial setting right now if you know who Dave Ramsey is, because Dave Ramsey helps Christians figure out how to balance a budget. He teaches them how to invest wisely. And so if you know who Dave Ramsey is, you're probably, and you've put it into practice, you're probably doing okay. But one thing I love about Dave Ramsey is he teaches in his program the idea of the closed fist versus the open hand. Okay? Now, one piece of this is that I get money in my hand, right? I don't have anything. So pretend. Okay, I've got Monopoly money. I'm putting it in my hand, okay? Now I got this money sitting in my hand. I like having that money in my hand. Do you like having your money in your hand?
Yep.
So you close it, right? I want to keep that money. I want to make sure that it doesn't go away. I got it locked tight. I got a grip on it. Okay? And when I do that, when I close my fist, when I have the money in my hand, nobody can take it out, right? It's good. It's secure. Like you try and grab the money, it's not coming, right? Here's the problem. The money's not going out, but guess what's coming in?
Nothing.
Nothing's coming in because as soon as it sets there, it just falls right off. You get nothing in return. You have only what you began with. And isn't that what we saw of the guy who had one bag of gold? He held on to it. He was afraid. He's like, I'm not going to lose this money. And he took it and he buried it. But the open hand is different. If I open my hand with this money, money can come out, right? Okay, well, that sounds bad. I don't want money coming out. But guess what else can happen? Money can come back in, right? So when I put it out there, and when I invest, and when I use it wisely, I am able to make money, okay? There's guys like, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Warren Buffett, multi-billionaire. This guy took risks over his life. He's lost a lot of money. He lost a lot of money just recently out of the airlines. But you know what? He's also made a lot of money. Why? Because he took what he had and he was willing to take strategic risks. He was willing to evaluate and to consider. Now, what does this have to do with us? What it has to do with us is spiritually, this is the spirit, the principle or truth for you. Okay? I want to be clear about this. I need you to understand this. Because the simple fact of the matter is that God has given you this to use. Yes. You cannot hold it. When you take your gifts, your talents, and your abilities, and you do nothing with them, guess what you get in return?
Nothing.
Nothing. Guess what your brothers and sisters in Christ get in return?
Nothing.
We hurt ourselves and we hurt others. We must be using the gifts, talents, and abilities that God gives us. And the simple fact of the matter is that there will be pain from it. Okay? Just like if I make an earthly investment, a financial investment, and I lose, it hurts, right? Okay? But the bottom line is that it's worth taking risk for the benefits. When we put ourselves out there and use our gifts, skills, and abilities for other people, they will hurt us. It's going to happen. You will be used in this life. You will have people who will take advantage of you in this life. It is a simple fact of life. But the thing is that God is telling us, if we are using these gifts, talents, and abilities, that He will multiply them in spite of the hurt, in spite of the pain. Would you be willing to lose $1,000 to make a million? Absolutely. And see, this is the thing, is when you look at what God is saying here, in a spiritual sense, and I want to be clear, in a spiritual sense, is that when you invest your skills, talents, and abilities, God is going to double it for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your skills, talents, and abilities, when used, God will double down and will increase what you are able to do. And God admires what we produce. I want to be clear about this, and I want to make sure we fully understand. God admires when we hurt for the kingdom, when we're willing to suffer, when we're willing to do good, even towards those who spitefully use and abuse us. God is going to bless that. But we have to be willing to use those skills. And this is the truth of Jesus. You see, when Jesus was there at the Transfiguration, this is towards the end of his ministry. He's healed the sick. He's denied himself times of quiet. He took care of the 5,000 right after his cousin, John the Baptist, died. And he still took care of the 5,000 in the midst of his pain. He watched his disciples walk away from him. Just walk away, because he told them, look, you want the real bread of life? That's me. My body is food indeed. My blood is drink. He who lives in me will have life eternal. That was what he promised. And they walked away. Jesus suffered pain after pain after pain to finish his ministry, to accomplish the goal of coming and fulfilling all of the prophecies, all of the miracle signs and wonders that God said would come through his Messiah. And I want you to listen to this. In Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Right? Now, if we go back and look at our Greek word you, that is the root of admirable. It means well or well done. This word, well pleased, comes from that same root. God is telling them, I admire my son. Why? Because he was fruitful. He did what he was supposed to do. He fulfilled his ministry. He walked in the gifts, talents, and abilities that God gave him. And when the time came, God said, I admire the way that my son has lived. And because he is the example, because he is the standard that I will set for all mankind, I want you to hear him. Listen to him. What an interesting way to wrap back into our parable, huh? God the Father tells us, I admire my son. I want you to listen to him. And Jesus said, my Father will admire those who produce.
This is not about love. Let's not confuse it. This is not about love, but this is about admiration. You ever loved your kids and not been proud of them? It happens, even when they're young, right, Roxy? Even when they're young, they still do things we go, what? God's admiration comes when our lives are living in a way that he's pleased. So what are we doing to receive the well done from our Lord? In what ways are you using your gifts, talents, and abilities to further the kingdom? I said it last week, and I'll say it again. I have resources to help you figure out what your gifts, talents, and abilities are. If you're not sure what you can do to help strengthen the church, talk to me. I will help you get the resources, and I will help you to know how you can be fruitful in working in the kingdom of the Lord. But ultimately, these resources were given to you. On the day of the Lord, when you stand before him, he's not going to look at me and go, well, John, why didn't you tell them all their gifts, talents, and abilities? He's going to look at you and he's going to say, I gave you this, this, and this. Why did you go and bury it in a field? I don't want to have to answer that question, do you? I'd much rather have my Father say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's rest. It's that simple. Do you want the well done? Because if you do, it starts today. It starts today with taking your gifts, talents, and abilities and using them for the glory of the kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you now, and I just, Lord, I recognize that that it's so easy in this world to get distracted. It's so easy to have things in our world that tear us down and rip us apart and just things that cause us to feel less valuable, to feel like the things that we have are cheap and not good. But Lord, we know that's not true. We know that's not true because you promised us how valuable our gifts are, and that no matter what end of the spectrum we are as your servants, that you have given us everything that we need to produce on this earth, and that when we take advantage of that, when we use those gifts, talents, and abilities, that you admire that, that you look and you are pleased, that you say, well done. Lord, if there's anyone here today who has not made the commitment to be your child, I pray that their hearts will be convicted today. I pray that their hearts will be open to making the choice to make you Lord and Savior, that they'd be willing to die to themselves, to be buried in a watery grave of baptism, to rise again to a new life, forgiven of their sins and filled with the Holy Spirit, so that they're ready to take on the tasks that you have for them in their life. And Lord, I just ask that if there's anyone here who needs encouragement, that has looked at their gifts and talents like it's just a $20 bill, something to be scorned or looked down upon, that you will help them to see their value today. And if they need prayer or encouragement, that we will be available for them. Because we know how valuable everybody sitting in here is. We know how valuable you see us. And so I just ask that you'll strengthen them today and encourage them to step forward. If they need prayer with brothers or sisters, if they need someone to walk alongside them to help remind them of their value, that they'll be willing to take that step. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your abiding love for us. And we pray with all of our hearts that we'll see you soon and hear you say, well done. Pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.